Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of from Psalter 48, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. Psalter 48, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in the book of Psalms, the second psalm. We mentioned to you Psalm 2. But before we'll read the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. He mentioned to you Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers they counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask him for his presence and blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art holy, 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 and we are sinful, we are polluted, we are a corrupt people, and by nature our hearts are desperately wicked. And Lord, thou hast made us perfect in thy image, and thou could look upon creation, also upon man. And we read in thy word, behold, it was very good. But in this morning, on thy day, as we have gathered together in thy house, in thy mercy, in thy providence, thou art also looking upon us. And thy word gives a testimony that there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after thee. What a wonder, then, that in thy goodness and mercy and providence we may be together in thy house. It's a testimony of thy long-suffering patience upon us unworthy sinners. Lord, thou art the one who went after our Father in paradise. Where art thou? And thou art the same today. Thou art seeking and saving sinners. May it also be today through the world, but also may it be here in this church, in our families, in our personal hearts. O Lord, may it be a day that the angels may rejoice in heaven over sinners that truly repent, that they confess their sins, that they come upon their knees as a lost one with nothing in self, only confessing, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done all this evil in thy sight, and am unworthy to be called thy son. O Lord, wilt thou visit them, guilty, lost sinners? Draw them to thyself, Lord, and as thy word, the external call may be proclaimed again in this morning, accompanied by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that we would not only hear it and understand a little of it, but that it may go down into our hearts, that it may give life, that it may make spiritually alive. O Lord, we beg thee that it is a work of thee, it's not the work of man. But thou art that almighty triune God in whom there is complete salvation for completely lost sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come among us, visit us in thy mercy, in thy grace. And thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in their midst. Lord, thou art that faithful one to an unfaithful, unworthy people. And thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Oh, may we plead then upon thy promise, but also, Lord, for thy name's sake, visit us, give new life, but also care for those who have been made alive, the little lambs, the sheep. Lord, draw them to thyself. Oh, what lessons we need to learn. We need to be stripped, empty, become bankrupt with all our righteousnesses, that they become all stinking rags, and that we see that blessed, precious righteousness of the Lamb of God, that we become guilty and lost under and before a holy and just God, and that we need that blood of the Lamb to cleanse us. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily, irresistibly. We pray, Lord, that thou would remember then the whole congregation. Thou hast spared us in this past week. None of us have exchanged time for eternity. We have not been called to give an account. It's thy mercy. Thou hast extended the time of grace, the time that we may live and to seek thee. And Lord, thou hast promised that those that seek thee shall find thee. Oh, wilt thou give us then such a heart that we seek thee with our whole heart? Lord, we beg thee, remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, Lord, wilt thou come, blow with that power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be life in dead ones. But care also for thy dear children. Thou knowest how they have come to thy house in this morning, maybe not even daring to say they belong to thee. But Lord, remember them. Give, that there may be instruction, that there may be reproof, that there may be comfort, admonishment. O Lord, thou knowest what each soul and heart needs. Thou art the all-knowing God. And so may we lay the whole congregation before thee, from the youngest to the oldest. May we lay before thee all those who are mourning. Comfort them, Lord. Thou art the God of all comfort. Remember all the sick and afflicted with all the cares of the needs for the body, for the mind. And may we especially ask thee again to remember Lucianne. Care for her, Lord. Bless the means that may be used for her body. Remember also Jeff Aldisgraf, who is scheduled for surgery at the end of this week. Lord, guide the hands of the physicians. Give him that he may give it over and look unto thee, but also especially remember his soul, the souls of all of us, because soul lost, all lost, to have a healthy body and to have a soul that is filled with sin and lost. O Lord, then we have nothing. We need thy grace. We need that great physician, not for our body, but especially for our soul. We pray and ask thee also to remember a tiny little baby in a hospital in Iowa. Lord, remember that little boy that was born premature with so many cares. Care for him. Lord, it's a life. It's a precious life. Remember the parents. Remember the family. And Lord, look upon this little child then and give health. Give that he may live if it is thy will. Lord, thou art a wonder-doing God. Have mercy upon us. May we beg thee that thou would bless thy word throughout the entire world, wherever thy church may gather. Help all thy servants, Lord. We're sons of men. We need thy grace. We need thy spirit. Give them the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach as an ambassador of Christ, to speak and say, thus saith the Lord. Take away all the fear of men. Take away the desire of the praise of men, and that we may be as thy mouth. Lord, bless thy word then among Jew and Gentile. May thy kingdom come. Work mightily among thy beloved people. Take away that veil from their eyes, and that they may see that of what thy word testifies of the Messiah in the New Testament, that he is the Messiah. O Lord, do wonders among them as thou hast promised in thy word for the glory of thy name and for their salvation. But bless thy word wherever it may be brought forth, in prisons, among the homeless, among the poor needy, throughout this world, Lord, but especially may we ask also in Bolivia. May we lay the team before thee, the consistory, Pastor Marco. Oh, we beg thee richly, bless thy word in that country, that many may be born again, that many may come to know that only name given among men whereby we must be saved, that precious name of that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But, O Lord, may we ask thee also, remember us as a denomination. O Lord, wilt thou work mightily and irresistibly by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may become guilty sinners, and that guilty sinners may become led and drawn unto that only Savior. Oh, that there may be life, that there may be hatred for sin, that there may be love, longing and thirst and hunger to live righteous for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, remember the Pharisees, convert them. Remember the prodigals, convert them also. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Give us a good hour together. Lord, come. Give us an hour with thy blessing, with thy presence, and that we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was here. Lord, thou could righteously pass us by because of all our sins and iniquities and transgressions. But, oh, we beg thee, wilt thou hear us, answer us, and bless us because of him who's at thy right hand, that advocate, that ever interceding and thanking high priest. Look upon us through him, Lord, through his righteousness and through his blood. And so we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us and give us a good hour together. Cast out the evil one. Open our deaf ears to hear. Open our spiritually blind eyes to see who we are, but also to hear his voice and to see him who speaks through his word. We ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 3, all four stanzas. Wherefore do the nations rage, and the people vainly dream, that in triumph they can war, wage war against the King Supreme. Christ his Son a scoff they make, and the rulers plotting say, their dominion let us break, let us cast their yoke away. Psalter 3, all four stanzas in the collections for today is for the church and for the school contribution target. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, last week we spoke about a war, a spiritual battle between two kingdoms. What kingdoms? The kingdom of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Satan. Who is your king? Who is your king? Your king is either by nature still Satan, or by God's grace your king has become Jesus Christ. Either you are serving Satan, self, the world, and fighting against the king, raging against the king, or by God's grace, you are serving, following, obeying, serving the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, and fighting against sin, world, self, and Satan. Congregation, we can divide us into groups. It's either one or the other. Either you're still living in rebellion and hatred and raging against the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, or by God's grace, you are serving, following, worshiping, obeying him. Who is God to you, my friend? Do you hunger for him? Do you thirst for him? Who is Jesus Christ for you, my friend? Do you love him? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to give everything to him? Or are you still raging against him? It's one or the other, congregation. In Psalm 2, we read about enemies of God's anointed, raging against the anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And despite all the enmity and rebellion of Satan and man against the anointed Jesus Christ, God says in verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That gives us encouragement. Because no matter all the evil wickedness of man and all the evil wickedness of Satan, God has placed his Son, Jesus Christ. He has exalted him to the highest, and he is sitting upon the throne. And God will accomplish through the King of Kings his eternal purpose. His kingdom will come. God will save sinners. God will save enemies. He will translate them from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear Son, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and they will begin to serve him. God is still accomplishing his purpose. Christ is on the throne. God will have his Son glorified. God will still and is still gathering his sheep from over the whole world. But may it also be among us. The Almighty God is still conquering the hearts of enemies. How? Through the preaching of the word. Through the preaching of the word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today again, we may come into God's house to listen to his words. And God has a message for all of us again this morning in his goodness and his mercy. This message from Psalm 2 was a message at that time, but it's the living word. It's a message also for you and me this morning. And we read in verse 10 in Psalm 2, "Be wise now, therefore, O kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth." And God is also saying to us this morning, be wise. Be wise. Be instructed by me. Listen to me. Listen to my voice. Listen to my word. These are words full of love and compassion and mercy for absolutely unworthy sinners. What a wonder. Or it's not a wonder. As parents, we give advice. We instruct our children. Why? Because we want the best for them. And in this morning, the Lord says, be wise now. Listen to my voice. Be instructed by me. I desire what's the best for you. What's the best for your never dying soul. God is speaking through his word. Sinner, I desire what's best for you. Listen to me. Listen, hear, be attentive to the words of my voice. And he says in verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And then we come to the last verse in this psalm, and the Lord gives an ultimatum, a command, which disobedience will end in serious consequences. But obedience will also have its blessing. Last week, we heard of an ultimatum of a king, the world power Nebuchadnezzar. Those three friends of Daniel, they had an ultimatum. Bow or burn. Bow or you'll be cast into a fiery furnace. And he made that furnace 7 times hotter in his wrath. But this morning, there also is an ultimatum. There is an ultimatum from the Almighty Jehovah, from the God of heaven and earth. He commands to bow to his Son, to kiss his Son. Or you will experience being cast into the eternal fire of the furnace of his wrath. For whom will that fiery furnace be all the hotter? For whom? Oh, for those people in the world. No, that's not what the word of God says. Who will it be hotter? Who will experience the wrath of God in a deeper degree? Those who hear the word. Those who hear the gospel. Those who hear, kiss my Son, and yet refuse. Then they will experience, if they do not repent and bow by God's grace, yes, to the Son. This morning, is a word, no, not from me, a word from God, from the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And he says, which is our text this morning, Psalm 2 verse 12, thus saith the Lord, we could put before that verse. Psalm 2 verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So far from God's word. The theme this morning is kiss the Son. What does that mean? Listen, I hope to explain from God's word. Kiss the Son. And that refers to who? To Jesus Christ. Kiss the Son. Kiss Jesus Christ. Three thoughts. First, a command. Kiss the Son. It's not advice. It's not maybe listen to me. It's not an option. No, it's a command. Kiss the Son. But there's also a warning that you would take heed to the command. A warning. Lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And then it ends with a beautiful promise. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So kiss the Son. Three thoughts. A command, a warning, and a promise. And may the Holy Spirit irresistibly, powerfully bless the word of God to the hearts of sinners. Pray for that while you listen, for your soul and for the soul of those around you and in the congregation. A command. We read in Psalm 2, verse 12, kiss the Son. Who gives this command? The Almighty God. He gives a command to sinners to kiss his Son. Why? Why? What do these words imply, congregation? Well, they first imply that there's a need for reconciliation. Children, remember Jacob and Esau? Esau was furious at his brother, and he wanted to kill him, and Jacob fled, and many years later he came back. And what did Esau do? What did he do with his brother Jacob? He kissed him. There was reconciliation. There was peace. A kiss signified peace, and enmity was gone. We read in Genesis 33, verse 4, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell at his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Kiss the Son. The first thing this implies, it implies reconciliation. There's a need of reconciliation. Kiss the Son. There is enmity between Esau and Jacob. But there's also a greater enmity. Between who? Between you and God by nature. Between an almighty, holy, and just God and you, a sinner under his wrath, under his just wrath. And he calls, he commands, kiss my Son. And by nature, there's only enmity against his Son, against his anointed, as we read in these previous verses in Psalm 2. What a work the Holy Spirit needs to do in the heart of a sinner. Because by nature, we're only raging against him. No, we don't say that, but in our hearts, we're enemies. We're raging against the Son. Or has it changed? Is there a hunger? Is there a thirst for the Son? What a work the Holy Spirit needs to do. He needs to take away that heart of death, that heart of stone, and give a heart of flesh, a heart that there's love, that love returns, and that they would begin to desire to kiss the Son. So in this morning, when you hear this, you need the work of the Holy Spirit, that you would truly become willing in the day of his power to truly kiss the Son. What is the work of grace that breaks the heart of a guilty sinner? What is the grace that breaks the heart of a guilty sinner? It's the kiss of the Son, to experience a little drop of his mercy, to experience a little drop of his love for such a wretch that breaks the heart. This is beautifully portrayed in the parable of the prodigal son. Remember why that parable was proclaimed? Because he receives sinners. How does he receive them? It's portrayed in reconciliation of those that come unworthy, broken, guilty, confessing, lost. We read in Luke 15, verse 20, "And he arose, the prodigal son, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." That father kissed him. The Lord Jesus explaining reconciliation, mercy, love. What a blessing for that son to experience the kiss of his father. But what a mercy for condemned, hell-worthy sinners to experience the kiss of the son. That breaks the heart. And this is what they long, those guilty, unworthy sinners, they long for a kiss of the Son. Is that you? Oh, for a little token of his mercy, a little token of his love. They're like the bride in the Song of Solomon in chapter 1, verse 2. "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." They long for his love, for his mercy. The Lord makes room. They become lost. They want his mercy. They want his love. They want his kiss. And when they experience a kiss of the Son, oh, then they long. They long to kiss him back. He loves me, and therefore I love him. It begins with him, and they long to kiss him. As we read in the Song of Solomon 8, verse 1, "I would kiss thee." Do you understand this? Is this your heart? Is this your life? Oh, to have a kiss of someone you love, right? Children of your mother, that's beautiful. Or a husband or a wife. But to have a kiss of that Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that's life. That's everything. Then you long to kiss him. No, not like Judas. He gave a kiss of betrayal. It was a loveless kiss. But these sinners in their hearts, they long to kiss him. Why? Because he's so beautiful. He's so precious. Everything is in him. I love him more than anything else. And I just want to kiss him. I want to hold him. I want to live with him. I want to experience his loving kindness. The world is empty. It's all lost. I need him. I need his love. I need his mercy. Is that you? God gives a command. Especially to you, sheep, lambs, kiss the Son, kiss my Son. So it first implies reconciliation. God is a God of justice and wrath, but he's also a God of infinite mercy and grace, and he longs to be reconciled with sinners through his Son. He sent his Son to the world. To the world. Jesus Christ is a revelation of God. It's the heart of God. In him, you can see love and mercy and grace. Yes, also wrath. And ambassadors are not only to proclaim the law, the wrath, but also the love. Listen to the message that ambassador must proclaim, what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God." God created man in his image, in the image of his Son, so that they can have a relationship with his Son. Man, by sin in paradise, broke that relationship, and God still seeks sinners. He still complains to us, "Kiss my Son." This command is also an invitation to sinners for a relationship. What a wonder, what mercy that he doesn't say, "Enough, I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm just going to give you a famine of my word. It's all going to be form and custom and nothing but deadness." But he still proclaims this morning, "And may I go into your heart with the power of the Holy Spirit." He says, "Kiss my Son." God gave his only son to rebels. He gave his son to those who would kill him, crucify him. And that's you and me by nature. And he says, kiss my son. We read in John 3, verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. That would be just. No. But that the world through him, through his son, might be saved. But maybe you have a question. Okay, I understand. For his sheep, for his lamb, he says, kiss my son. But does he call enemies? I'm an enemy. Is that who you are? Does he call enemies? Does he command me to kiss his son? Who does God command? What do we read in the context of Psalm 2? Is it a good people, a holy people, a righteous people? No, there is none. There is none. He proclaims unto enemies, as we see in this chapter, verse 1, enemies raging against him. Those who are against his anointed, enemies. Verse 2, verse 3, those who only desire to be free, living according to their own will and flesh. What a wonder. What a mercy. What a grace. What a goodness of the Lord that he instructs us in that way. Who does God command to kiss his son? Rebellious, wicked sinners. Enemies. Congregation. That's amazing. It's amazing grace. Amazing grace. We're rebels, enemies by nature. We're rebellious sinners, and God still yet says, kiss my son. Kiss my son. He's saying, I desire what's best for your eternal soul. I don't want you to go lost. I want you to be saved. Parents, when do you desire to have your children kiss you? What do? Those little tiny children, what do? You bend down. You come close to them. You bend down to them so that they can put their arms around you and that they can kiss you. God, through the gospel, through the proclamation of the word, he comes close. He, so to speak, bows down and he comes very close to you through his son, Jesus Christ. And when a child is close, embracing the mother, so to speak, and kissing, then they can hear that heartbeat of their mother, and that heartbeat, every beat, is love, love, love. My friend, do you wonder if God is willing to save a wretch like you? Do you question, is God really willing for such a one as me? Do you question God's willingness? Should we even dare? Listen, God in the gospel, in the preaching, in the official preaching, he comes close to you in the gospel. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst. But he comes so close. And I say there is much reverence. He bows down. The holy God through the gospel, through the word, through his son, he bows down. He comes close. He's just and holy, absolutely infinite, holy and just. But he's also infinite love and mercy and grace to wicked, rebellious sinners. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Listen, Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, I need to say unto you this morning, congregation, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Why will you die, O house of Cortland? He gives a command. This command is a loving invitation. Kiss the son. It implies honor, loyalty. Yes, reconciliation, but it also implies loyalty and honor. In this time, in this culture, it was the custom, when you wanted to express honor and loyalty to a king, you kissed his feet, or you would kiss his throne. God the Father is asking. No, he's commanding. He's commanding rebellious sinners, kiss my son. He's commanding to give your heart to him, to honor him, to be loyal to him. He doesn't want half a heart. He wants a whole heart. And to honor someone and to be loyal to someone, you can't have a divided heart, husbands. You can't have two women in your life. It needs to be one to be loyal, to honor your wife. There cannot be God and mammon. You need to cast away all the idols. All the idols and bow. Bow to his authority and to his rule, to be loyal, to honor him and him alone. You don't only need Jesus Christ as a prophet to teach you. You don't only need Jesus Christ as a priest to be that sacrifice. He needs to become your king. Because if he isn't everything, he's nothing. You need him as a complete savior, and you need to be loyal to him completely, by God's grace, yes, but completely your whole heart to him, not my will, but thy will, dying to everything to self and surrendering everything to him. That's implied in the kiss to the Son. It implies worshiping, worshiping, true worshiping. Those that worship the god Baal, the calves of Baal, they would kiss these little idols, children. They would take these images and they would kiss them. But God is saying, don't kiss idols. Kiss my son. Worship him. Worship him as an only savior, as an only king, as him alone. Are you? Are you worshiping Jesus Christ? Or are you still fighting against him? Are you raging against him? Are you, by God's grace, kissing the Son? What does it mean to kiss the Son? It means to be loyal to him. It means to worship him. It means to honor him. It means to trust him in nothing else. Nothing of self, nothing of the world, only him. It means to trust in his righteousness. All my righteousness are filthy rags. It means to trust in his cleansing blood. I have nothing else that can cleanse me, and I need it. It means worship him with your heart. Worship him with your mouth, with your mind, with your feet, with your hands, with your whole being. With your lips. With your heart, adoring him. It means surrendering everything to him. To him. And may we pray, oh Almighty God, give us grace. Give sinners grace this morning that they may die to self and that they may be drawn to thee, to thy Son, that they may kiss. May we pray, Holy Spirit, work mightily, irresistibly, and conquer hearts. My friend, are you a sinner? Are you an adulterer? Are you an idolater? Are you disobedient to your parents? Have you stolen? Do you break the Lord's Day? Are you covetous? Are you worshiping other idols? He still proclaims to you this morning, kiss my son. You want an example of someone with a heart, not only in the action of kissing his son? Open your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 7. There we see a beautiful example of a woman who was a sinner who kissed him. Luke chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. And we read, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." So this is a literal action, but you see her heart. You see the heart of those who are kissing the Son. This meant worshiping him. She was a lost sinner, nothing more. She needed him. She loved him. He's not on earth no more, children. You can't literally, as you can kiss your mother, kiss the Son. But it's with the heart. It's with the same grace as this woman. To kiss the Son, it's a command of God's. But maybe you're afraid. Maybe you say, but I'm so polluted. I'm so wicked. I'm so black with sins. Sins as horrible. Does he invite me? Would he receive such a sinner as me? Me? Listen to his word. John 6, verse 37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Was Jesus offended by this woman that was a sinner that came? That poured out her heart at his feet, her tears washed his feet, her hair wiped his feet, and she kissed him? Was he offended? No, he wasn't. And he's the same today, my friends. Listen to what we read further in that chapter in Luke 7, 47 and 48. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. Was Jesus polluted by her? No, he cleansed her. My friend, he's the same today. He's the same. He doesn't change. He's the same compassionate sinners, that poor needy sinners come to him, that want to kiss him. And he says, his father says, kiss the son, and blessed are all they that put their trust in him. How can such a holy, infinite God invite, command sinners to kiss his son? Sinners with vile lips, with vile thoughts, vile being. How can that be? Fathers, would you allow a vile man to kiss your precious daughter? We would say, no, no, no. Stay away from her. Back off. But what a wonder. God commands vile sinners. He invites them. Wicked sinners. Impure sinners. Unrighteous sinners. Polluted sinners. Kiss the Son. How is this possible? How is this possible? It's because of his Son. Because of what his Son merited through his blood, through his righteousness, through his passive obedience, and through his active obedience. It's all possible through him. Kiss the Son. He is so worthy, congregation, to be kissed, to be worshipped, to be obeyed, to be loved, to be served, to give your heart, to give your life to him. He's so worthy that you break allegiance with all other idols, that you cut him off, you cast him out, that you come and bow as a guilty, lost sinner at his feet, looking up to him for mercy, for grace, for a kiss. For a kiss from him. Who's your king, my friend? Who's the king in your heart? You don't have to answer me. God knows. Are you still fighting against this king? Are you still raging against this king? It will not go well with you, my friend, except you repent, made alive, and come to bow. And he gives a warning. And so we go to our second thought. God gives a serious warning. Those who reject his son, those who reject to kiss him, shall perish. Listen to what we read in Psalm 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Let's take a little closer at some phrases in this verse. Lest he be angry. Congregation, sin against God's law is an offense. Sin is wickedness against the highest majesty in heaven. But to refuse to obey God's command, to refuse the gospel call, that offends God to the very heart, because it's against himself, it's against his mercy, it's against his heart, it's against his son. Refusal to believe, to bow, to kiss the Son is the greatest insult to the Almighty God. By this act, which we will only naturally do, and it's our guilt, we call God a liar. God the Father commands sinners to repent, to believe, and to kiss his Son. And God infinitely loves his Son. He sent him, he gave him to save sinners. And that sinners would only reject him, refuse him, and harden their hearts, this causes God's wrath to be burning. God loves his son. He loves his son. And God is glorified when sinners become absolutely lost, lost and bankrupt, and truly, by God's grace, come to him as that woman washing, pouring out her heart, kissing him. My friend, who's king in your life? I want to speak to you who come to church faithfully. Good, keep doing it. But you who yet in your heart, that Jesus Christ is not necessary, he's not precious, he's not suitable to you at all. You're still living for the world, faithful, but it's not enough, my friend. You need to be at his feet. You need to be reconciled with God through the mediator, through Jesus Christ. What will happen when you die, my friend? You'll stand before God, a holy, infinite God. And maybe one of the questions will be, to you who heard the gospel, to heard on Sunday morning, February 16th, kiss my son, and you said, no, I'm not going to. I just want to kiss the world. I want to follow my own flesh. Do you have any idea? I don't. But it's a question. What wrath of God you will face? Martin Luther said, there's three things I dare not consider in my death without Christ. My sin. I dare not think of death, and I dare not think of judgment. Death to a soul without Christ is the king of terrors. And we say it, but do we know it? Do we feel it? Does it cause us to make haste for our life's sake? Holy Spirit, bless the word. That you become alive, lost, and you need the Son. That's my prayer, that you need the Son. Hebrews 10 verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Who can describe that? It will only be experienced, dear congregation. God will not take a no for an answer. He will not take a no. God will be especially angry at those who hear the gospel, who are sincerely called in the gospel, and who refuse, who harden their hearts. Psalm 2 verse 12, kiss the Son, lest you be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. What does this phrase mean? Some say that it means that his wrath will come suddenly, like upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Suddenly he will destroy you and you just stand before him. And others say it speaks to a little drop of God's wrath is infinite wrath. You could not stand before him. With one little drop of his wrath, we'll be destroyed. Destroyed. What will it be forever to be under the wrath of God? What will it be? There's no words to describe that. And yet he calls, sincerely calls. No, he commands, kiss the Son, because that's the only way you can escape that well-deserved wrath. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. But some say, no. Jesus Christ, he's mercy, he's love, he's a lamb of love. Will he be angry? No. Will he be angry? I don't believe it. And maybe that's you in your heart. You don't really believe it. That's the problem. They say he came to save sinners. He will never destroy sinners. You have the wrong understanding of who he is, if that's you. Can he be angry? Yes. Will that Lamb of God be a Lamb of wrath? Yes, he will. To who? To those who reject him, who refuse. Listen to what we read in Psalm 2, verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. What wrath of the anointed upon the enemies. But listen to what we read in Revelation 6, verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. And from what? From what? The wrath of God? No, listen. And from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, that Lamb is full of mercy. Full of mercy, full of compassion, full of grace to poor, needy sinners that come unto him. But he's a lamb. He will be a lamb of wrath to those who only persist and reject him. And he will come. He will come as that glorious King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he will come and take vengeance on who? On those who obey not the gospel. Who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 through 9. And yet, God in mercy, this lamb still is available. That door is still open. There's much room at his feet this morning, congregation. Much room. For the vilest of sinners, for the hardest of hearts. Acknowledge your iniquity. Come before him and bow and pour it all out. Don't try to hide yourself. Don't use any excuses. Be honest and you will experience mercy and grace from him through that lamb. God commands, kiss the Son. And he gives a warning, but he also gives a beautiful promise. We will consider that, but let us first sing from Psalter 255, stanzas 3 and 4. 255, 3 and 4 standing. To the Lord such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at his feet. And what follows, 255, 3 and 4. Kiss the Son, a command, not an advice, not an option, not a maybe, a command, congregation. Take that home. Take it home. Lose all your excuses. Become lost. We don't like the command. Why? Because when we hear it, we want to say, we want to have excuses. But the heart is what Jesus Christ said. Ye would not. It's our guilt. May it bring you in your guilt. And a warning to take heed to that command, but now also a promise, a beautiful promise to draw sinners to come to kiss his Son. The psalm ends in verse 12 with a promise. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him, in that Lamb of God, in the Son, in Jesus Christ. There's other verses that express this blessedness. I'll read two to you. Psalm 84, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Blessed. What does that word mean? What does it mean? In Hebrew, it has a rich, full meaning. It means shalom. It's all well with them. It's well with their soul. They are blessed. They're the most blessed people on the earth. They may be poor. They may be sick, afflicted, all kinds of troubles, all kinds of crosses. Everything seems against them. But those that put their trust, that may be weak, feeble, trembling, but put their trust in him and in him only. Those people are so blessed. They are truly happy in the depth and the fullness of the word now, and they will enter into eternal blessedness and happiness. And it speaks not only blessed now in that word, it's everlasting blessedness. It begins now, and it will never end. It will be an eternal blessedness. All those, yes, by God's grace, become lost. Their hearts are conquered. But come to truly kiss the Son and experience His kiss and kiss Him. They are blessed. They are extremely blessed. I don't have words enough to explain that blessedness that they have. They belong to the Almighty God. He thought of them. He thought of them. He chose them. He sought them. He renewed them. He drew them to His Son. His Son kissed them, and they kiss Him back. Those people are so extremely blessed. I hope you see it. I hope you see it, that you are so unblessed if you are without God, without Christ in this world, if you're still kissing idols. I hope you see it, that you're just absolutely so unblessed. You're so poor. You have nothing. You only have to look forward to be cast into a fiery furnace, nothing else, and wrath. But you, who have put your trust in Him by God's grace, you are so blessed. You're blessed. Psalm 125, verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. That love, nothing shall separate from the love of God. Not your sin, not your unbelief, not all your hard-heartedness, not all your raging wickedness and evil. Nothing. He came, He conquered your heart. And did He kiss you? Did He kiss you? Don't you want to kiss Him back? I hope you understand me. You want to kiss Him back, don't you? You love Him. Then you want to live for Him. Because He's everything. His loving kindness is more than life. Life. And those who trust in Jesus Christ. No, not those who trust and that they made confession. Not those who trust were part of the NRC. We're a good denomination. We preach the truth and all this. Proud, but lost. No, they're not blessed. Those are blessed. That all your righteousness become filthy rags. That everything that you pay, want to pay the Lord, is all filthy, insufficient. They're blessed. That put their trust. That hear of Him, drawn to Him, come to Him as a broken, a needy, a lost sinner. And that want to touch the hem of His garment. Those that want to come at His feet and pour out all their hearts, pour all their tears upon Him, because He's the image, He's the object of their love, of everything. It's Him. He has everything I need. He has righteousness to cover me. He has blood to cleanse me. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Why? They're cursed, are they not? They're cursed, are they not? Yes, we are by nature because we don't keep the law. But He came to be accursed. He took that place. He sat in their place. He took it all upon Himself willingly. All the stones, all the whips, beaten, spit at, afflicted. He took it all as that lamb, willingly, lovingly. Why? So those that put their trust in Him would be forever. Ever blessed, not forever cursed, not forever cast into that fiery furnace of God's wrath, but delivered forever, forever. My friend, who's your king? Who's your king? Still Satan? Still self? The world? I hope you go home lost. Lost. Maybe for the first time. Absolutely lost. I hope you can't sleep tonight. I hope you can't. They need to be beside your bed. Just begging. Just a beggar. That's a good place to be. There's sweetness in that. Just to pour out your heart. I'm lost. Lord, my heart's just bound to this world. Lord, I have a king in my heart. It's self. It's the world. I'm lost. I'm not kissing the Son. And I'm called to. I'm commanded to. I heard it this morning. But I don't even want to. I don't even want to let go of all my idols. Tell Him. Because He has the power. He has the grace to change that you can never change. There's hope in the Almighty Triune God, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you resist and you carry on, Daniel's friends were cast into that fire and they were delivered. They were delivered. But you who persist in your wicked and evil way, yes, it's your guilt, you will never, ever be delivered from the wrath of God. It's still the time of grace. Seek Him. Seek Him. Bow. Acknowledge your iniquity. He says, only acknowledge your iniquity. But you who have been sought, because He thought of you in eternity, He found you, He made you alive. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Have you kissed Him? Who are those that kiss Him? A little something, but something else. They love Him. They love Him. And they can say, like Peter, Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest. And in this heart, there's so much wickedness yet. There's so much sin in this man. It's everywhere. But Thou knowest in my heart, Lord, I love Thee. Is that you? Is that you, my friend? Can you say that? Maybe you don't want to tell anybody else. You're afraid because they know everything about you. But is that your heart, in the depth of your soul? I love Him. I love Him. I love Him more than anyone else. I love Him because He loves me. He kissed me, and I want to kiss Him. I want to live for Him. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Blessed now and blessed forever. And they will be redeemed. They'll be brought into the place forever in His presence. And what will they do? They will cast their crown at His feet. Forever blessed and blessed in His presence. Uninterrupted splendor and glory and communion with their King. Forever kissing Him. Forever serving Him. Forever being kissed by Him. That's their blessedness with Him, with the King, with the Lamb. And they will cast their crown at His feet. And they will sing the Song of Moses. And we'll end with that. Revelation 15, verse 3 and 4. And they sing the Song of Moses, the servant of God, and the Song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. Who is your King? You will bow before this King. But there's two ways you will bow when He comes. You will bow in terror, or you will bow worshiping. There He is. There He is. There's the King. There He is. Blessed King. Blessed people. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, a few words, but wilt Thou bless it powerfully, irresistibly, by the power of the Holy Spirit to the hearts? Oh, may it be then in this day that sinners may truly kiss Thy Son. Lord, conquer hearts. Take away all the enmity, all the resistance, all the weapons. Make us lost, hungry, and thirsty, and draw us. And oh, may we experience that kiss, the kiss of Thee, of mercy and grace through Thy Son, that our hearts will also long to live for Thee and to kiss Thee. May we ask it, Lord, for Thy glory and for our eternal comfort. Look upon us in mercy. Keep us as we go home, Lord, on the roads. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 32, stanzas 3 and 4. Psalter 32, stanzas 3 and 4. O thou that ever saveth those who trust on thee estate, preserving them from all their foes, by thy almighty aid, let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy full and free. 32:3-4. Congregation, due to the weather, the catechism classes are canceled. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.